I think something that's very relevant to the data that we've just released and to the open data portal that we're launching is that IOM for a number of years now has been the largest global provider of direct assistance to victims of trafficking. So we assist about 8,500 individual cases of trafficking every year. And that's something we do really all over the world, from the point of, you know, identification at border points, for example, to the provision of immediate assistance, provision of shelter, immediate health needs, food and nutrition. So we often are working with national governments to organize the safe return and reintegration, long-term sustainable reintegration for survivors of trafficking in their home countries. We now have the largest single database on human trafficking case data in the world, with over 50,000 cases registered in there.
Can you just briefly explain how is this data gathered?
We have caseworkers working, doing in-depth casework with each individual survivor that we are assisting. And through that process, it's all stored in a central database, which is accessible in different countries.
What was the goal in creating the new counter-trafficking data collaborative, the CTDC?
So this data is really, really useful for understanding the different experiences that people have had while being trafficked, how they've ended up in the trafficking process in the first place, you know, how they've managed to escape potentially, what types of sectors they may have been exploited within. We have all of this data. It's been very, very difficult to use it externally with researchers and academic institutions just because it's so sensitive. So that's really the point of this platform, is to release the data to counter-trafficking organizations, to those working on developing new policies to counter-trafficking, the academic community, and so on.
So what was found in this report by the new data portal?
We've been looking at trying to understand a bit more about how children come to be trafficked, basically. And one of the startling things that the involvement of family members in that initial those initial steps is up to four times higher in the cases of child trafficking. In some cases, they're really, you know, family members are actually traffickers, and they really do have criminal intent. What this is really important for doing is being able to guide our response. You know, situations where family members really do have criminal intent from the outset, it's really important for other family members to be aware that this, you know, this is a possibility, for children to also be, you know, empowered to recognize when relationships may not be based on mutual respect, mm-hmm. And the best interests of the child, but also so that they know and are aware of different types of support structures that are available to them. You know, let's say they are working in, you know, they're in very difficult circumstances. They're really trying to make the best long-term decisions for themselves and their family, but at the same time, doing so in a way which may not fully take into account the best interests of the child, the agency of the child. And this is something of a more kind of wholesale development issue, but is also very, very important for us to intervene in, because families end up making risky migration strategies for their children, mm-hmm. and their children end up becoming trafficked. But what we really see here is a very, very clear set of statistics that show that we need to work on these kind of dynamics within the family, which of course is often assumed to be a protective structure, but is not always the case.
On that subject, is this trend limited to certain regions of the world, or is this globally?
These are global statistics.
So the CTDC has published extensive data and a detailed map that visualizes these places around the world where victims have been identified. How can this be used going forward? What are the next steps?
To keep working with further partners that have more data to contribute and really enlarge the amount of data that is available on the site, but also really to start working with different agencies, including the private sector, to start looking at, you know, pilots for using this data. There's never been this type of information available on the internet anywhere in disaggregated form. So we're really only at the beginning, where we can see the different types of application that these data may have. But I think there are many different stakeholders in the counter-trafficking community, in the business community, police forces, border agencies, in their identification of potential victims, in the private sector to identify risks within their supply chain, within the academic community, combining it with other types of development data, with labor market data, to really try to better get at kind of the cause and effect relationships that are involved in people becoming trafficked, and look at the risk and protective factors that make people vulnerable to trafficking and enable trafficking. So that's where we're going with that. We hope to release more of this on the site moving forward. And we're looking forward to working with our partners, with governments, with new partners and counter-trafficking agencies to really try to harness all of this new information that is out there for counter-trafficking interventions moving forward.